say you don't know me or recognize my face. Say you don't care who goes to that kind of place.
You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have in studio with me the Chief of the Hastings Police Department, Brian Schaefer. Chief Schaefer, it's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
We are making a transition, a seasonal transition at this point as we move from fall into winter. Some of you may have noticed already we've had a couple of snowfalls in the area, light ones, nothing to really be concerned about, but that should remind us that the snowier days are certainly coming, and this is a good time to go over some of the information that the City of Hastings wants its residents to know regarding snow emergencies, snowfall, plowing, and all kinds of different things. So Chief Schaefer is... agreed to come in and sit down for just a little while, and we're going to discuss some of the winter preparations and snow emergencies and all kinds of things to get us through to, what, next July probably?
Let's hope not, right?
Let's hope not. April at least. So let's start with the information people are going to want to know about how snow emergencies are handled in Hastings.
Well, you know, as you said, snow emergencies are unique to the Midwest, and every year we try and bring everybody up to speed and remind everybody. And I think we've got one of the simpler snow emergency ordinances, and that is that any time we have 2 or more inches of snow have fallen, a snow emergency automatically goes into effect.
Okay.
So, and signs are all over town to notify everybody of that. So that just relieves staff and city staff and people from having to go out and notify people when a snow emergency is happening. You see that in some other cities, of course,
right. Yeah.
when they are in effect, but this is automatic. So, we do our best to, if you go to our Facebook page, we usually do a real good job of letting people know when storms are approaching, what's mm-hmm. expected. And of course, if you watch the news at all, that anytime there's a prediction, it is major news on every news station. So
yep.
We just ask people to pay attention. And, you know, we have had in the past, we still do have the NXL notification system.
Mm-hmm.
We had a discussion here in the last couple of weeks about the purpose of that NXL system and the fact that a snow emergency automatically goes into effect when 2 or more inches of snow has fallen. This year, instead of notifying people when plows hit the ground, if you will, or as soon as we've determined 2 inches has fallen and we're going to start enforcing and ticketing, we're going to be using NXL to notify people that... same as we do with social media, that a snowstorm is impending,
sure,
and to remind residents of the city ordinance that it automatically goes into effect at 2 inches. So it's going to be more of a help notify people ahead of time so that they can take action so they don't get a ticket.
Right, and I think it bears repeating at this point also that the ordinance in Hastings is not dependent on that NXL notification going out. The ordinance takes effect whether or not you receive that notification. As soon as we're looking at 2 inches of snow, snow emergency is gone.
Right, and that's it's a very small group of people, but we do have residents that rely on that. When they get the NXL notification, that's when they move their car. Well, mm-hmm. that isn't, especially when we're talking about an extended snowfall that goes over a couple of days, that you're supposed to keep your car off the street in a multi-snow event. Keep your car off the street until it has stopped snowing and your street is plowed from curb to curb. So
mm-hmm.
There's no way we can notify people with all these different scenarios.
Sure,
so
sure.
It's easy. It's easy. You think where there's a snowstorm is coming, or there's close to 2 inches on the ground, get your car off the street, and it doesn't get any easier than that.
Right, and the city does do its best to make the ordinance and enforcement as clear as possible, easy as possible, and the community can be involved as easily as possible with that. An interesting sidelight that I've just that just came up in my mind, going along with snow plowing in the streets, go over a little bit about shoveling sidewalks on how that's well enforced, or what the expectation is.
Yeah, the expectation is that within 48 hours that you have your sidewalks shoveled. So it's accessible by the public. Or think about those delivering the mail, mm-hmm. and providing services to your block or to your residence. So you have 48 hours to do that. We also ask, you know, when there's garbage pickup, try not to put your containers in the street. During these times, because, you know, of course, our public works folks are cleaning up all the time.
Sure.
So trying to keep those up and out of the way as well.
And with the sidewalks, the next logical step is on almost every corner of a block in town, or pretty close to it, are fire hydrants. And I understand the city is bringing back a Hydrant Heroes program. Go over that a little bit.
Yeah, by popular demand, it has been hugely successful. And as an aside, we kind of looked at this program that was set up by the fire department to shovel fire hydrants, help keep our fire hydrants clear. But we've kind of tried to adopt something similar for our tornado sirens, folks to adopt a siren. So, and again, not to change the subject, but we typically send our officers out to the areas where our sirens are located, and it's much more beneficial if a resident knows that on the first Wednesday of the month at 1 o'clock, the siren did or didn't go off.
Okay.
That it's their duty to let us know, and it helps relieve some resources. Same here with the fire hydrant program. If people want to get involved, we ask that they shovel at least 3 feet around their fire hydrant.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a photo or selfie of yourself, or a selfie, and share it using hashtag Hastings Hydrant Heroes, and your name will be entered into a drawing, weekly drawing, for prizes that are donated by local businesses. So
right.
I don't know what the number was last year, but I remember seeing a lot of posts. And again, this is something that our public works people have to do, and you can't possibly get to all of them all the time because of, let's say, a major snow event. We're working on trying to keep the streets clean.
Right.
And if you have a fire, then it would end up being the fire department when they get there to try and find and dig out the hydrant, which is time.
Exactly,
and so it's get involved. We just have such a great community and support in our public safety, in the public safety world, and our public works. So get involved. It doesn't take a lot, as we know. If you go out and if you keep it shovel out from the first day on, it's easy to do. It's not so easy when there's 4 feet of snow and you're starting
late
from
the season and it's all frozen.
Exactly.
I've run into that before too. And some of the pictures that I've seen, I haven't seen a lot of them, but when these people are sending in the selfies or the pictures, they kind of make it an ordeal, well, not an ordeal, but an event, and have some fun with it, get dressed up or anything. So be creative, keep the hydrant clean, send a picture in, and see what kind of good stuff that gets you.
Yeah, no, it's a great program. So,
I think it's a wonderful one, and I think other communities are picking up on it and doing it too. I think across the river, up in Cottage Grove, they have that also. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, no, and I'll just talk a little bit about, you know, there's always the enforcement side of winter parking. You know, we're asking people, here are the rules. Try and be proactive and not end up getting a ticket, but the police department will start ticketing once 2 inches of snow has fallen, and a ticket is $77. Typically, if your car is in an area that's very congested, there are some roundabouts and some streets in town, or not roundabouts, but some dead-end
cul-de-sacs,
and there are times that they are narrow, and one or two cars in there can make all the difference of whether or not we can get a truck through or an emergency vehicle. In some cases, those cars could be towed. The ordinance allows us to do that. We have just elected to start ticketing, and once 2 inches has fallen, and unless there's an exception to that rule, once, you know, we have a 24-hour parking ordinance as well. If your car remains on the street 24 hours after it's been ticketed, we're going to tow it. And it's going to get towed to Southeast Towing, and that takes your $77 ticket up to $125 tow. This is a $200 bill, so we try not to do that. It's a last resort, but it's something that we're expected to do, and this is about public safety and accessibility throughout the city.
And when the vehicles are towed, you said Southeast takes them. Is there a lot here in town that will be brought to, or are they going to be brought down to their place in Red Wing, or how's that work?
No, we have they have a yard here in the industrial park in Hastings. So they're close by.
All right, so once again, the reminder to pay attention to the weather. When the snow starts falling and it looks like it's hit 2 inches, make sure your vehicle's in a safe place. When the snow is done, get out there and shovel off your sidewalk a little bit and play the Hastings hashtag Hydrant Heroes thing and get involved there. The snow also brings a lot of winter recreation. One of which is very popular in this area of Minnesota is snowmobiling.
Mm-hmm.
I would like it if you could go over some of the ordinances around having a snowmobile in town. Where can they be used? Are they legal on the street? That kind of thing.
Yeah, and I unfortunately didn't bring the map with me, but I'd encourage this, any residents that have snowmobiles to go on to the city website and look at the map. There are a few designated routes in the city that snowmobiles can be operated on, but those routes are really for the purpose of allowing you to leave your house to travel to and from a snowmobile.
Like a designated,
designated trail right. Sure. And it is fairly limited. I'm just trying to recall, a lot of it is more on the west end of our city.
Okay.
To give us west and south, so people gives access to the obvious open land and access to the trails. So we do, and it is limited, but it is illegal to ride. Other than going to and from the trail on those designated routes, it's illegal to operate. You operate your snowmobile on sidewalks or public streets in the city. So.
Okay. And that's a permanent thing, I would think. I don't think that's a seasonal ordinance. It's just basically better to say, just don't do it.
Right.
And I know that there are a lot of snowmobile enthusiasts in town, and in the time that I've worked here for the radio station, I've not heard a lot of information about, say, snowmobile accidents in town. So we have a very conscientious snowmobiling community, I think.
Yeah. Typically, the complaints that we get are the folks that are maybe in the middle of the night riding your snowmobile in their backyard or around their house, and we're getting complaints about same kind of deal. Yeah, we're getting complaints about the noise, and that's typically what we see. And we'll get complaints about people riding on the sidewalks, and it's a legitimate concern, obviously.
It is. It really is. And moving back to vehicles a little bit, too, I know this is more general maintenance and not so much police-centered, but it would also be a good time to check the equipment on your vehicle, make sure your tires are good for the season. Do you know of any places in town that can provide, say, a good winter survival kit? Survival kits might be a good thing to have in your car for the winter.
Yeah, if you go online, there's lots of recommendations about building your own kit. I don't know, I think some of our like Napa and maybe Goodyear and O'Reilly, some of those AutoZone, some of those places may have pre-made kits, maybe even Walmart. But, you know, it's good to have those, especially if you're traveling. I think the biggest concern that I see often is folks not scraping their windshields or letting their car defrost. The number of cars that I'll see on the road, you get in the car, you start up in the morning, and you try and peek through the dash to get yourself to work. The law says that your windows can't be obscured by anything, and it can't be a visual obstruction. So that's important. That's a real, real important piece of the law. But outside of that, yes, definitely good tires. A bald tire, a war tire, doesn't get you around very well, and it doesn't matter. People have to slow down. I don't care how good of tires you have or if you have four-wheel drive or not. If you have ice on the roads, it doesn't matter.
Right.
So give yourself extra time. Clean off your windows. Give yourself the time. Warm up your cars and slow down.
Yes. And one other thing I would like to bring up, and also, again, it's not so much under the purview maybe of the Hastings Police Department in an in-town setting, but a lot of people, if they're traveling in a winter storm and their vehicle becomes disabled, will want to leave their vehicle and go and search for help. And the general consensus is to not do that. Is there any words you can provide us on that?
Yeah, the general consensus is stay with your vehicle. I'll even go a step further and say stay in your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of mishaps where people, they get into an accident on the freeway or the highway and they get out of their car and they're struck, or their car gets struck and they get struck. You're still better off being in your car. If you're stranded for a long period of time and you have plenty of gas, you know, keeping your exhaust pipe clear so you don't get carbon monoxide poisoning. But most of the time, most people have cell phones. We have a lot of good Samaritans. I don't see a lot of people that are stranded for long periods of time. But
right.
Yes, it's always best to stay with and in your car if you can.
Right. And like I said, that's not something that would really be an in-town issue, but we do have some rural areas here, even in the Hastings city limits itself, and things can happen where you least expect it.
Yeah, we were just talking about one of our officers used to work in southern Minnesota along I-90, and the stories we were talking, and even my experience out west, where it wasn't uncommon to have a windstorm, blizzard conditions with 4 inches of ice on the road where you couldn't see or walk. And
wow.
So you get into the rural areas and some of these highways, that can happen as well. So it's always good advice to stay put.
All right. My name is Mike Rood, and I'm in the studio today with Chief of Hastings Police, Brian Schaefer. We've come to about the end of our segment, sir, but I would like to give you the opportunity to provide contact information should anybody have questions or concerns they'd like to get a hold of you, maybe.
Well, you can always field questions via our Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
You can field questions through the City of Hastings website.
Mm-hmm.
The Hastings Police Department, we're always glad to help. We're open every day at our service desk. We can be contacted at 480-2300.
Mm-hmm.
If you need anything, and somebody's always happy to help.
Excellent. Like I said, this is Mike Rood, and I'm on Community In-Depth with the Chief of Hastings Police, Brian Schaefer. Chief Schaefer, thank you for your time. You are listening to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7.
We built this city. We built